Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. It is the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we will help you one way or another. At least we hope so. As we go to air today, let's see. It's Sunday. This would be July 2nd in the year of our Lord, 2023. We have 30 people shot in Baltimore, which is not that unusual. Two dead, 30 shot. Not that unusual for a weekend. But this all happened at one event, one block party in Baltimore. No arrests, no motive, no, just a lot of weeping, and it is sad. And last week, now, I said I wanted to do a feature or an update, or I don't know what you'd call it. I wanted to go over some of the fathers of the cult of the creepy sex stuff that had been in the news. John Money, Alfred Kinsey, Volkmer Sagoosh, Magnus Hirschfeld, Erwin Gorbrandt. And so I did the research, and I can't actually do it because it's too gross and disgusting to actually cover on the show in depth. I don't want to put my extremely attractive audio engineer. Yeah, it's just you can't. I'll link to it if you want to see it, but it's we already know. It's exactly what you would think. A bunch of Nazi psycho perverts. And I just can't take the details. It's just too dark. These men and what they've done, and it should all be just blotted out of history. They should be blotted out of history, never to be remembered, never to be talked about. And one day they will be. In fact, I'm not even going to link to it. I can't take it. It's just too awful. You know, it's almost as disgusting and disturbing as Tucker Carlson and his producer choosing porn merchant Andrew Tate as their first interview on their new post-Fox show. Uh-huh. So Tucker Carlson and his faggot producer bring the state of so-called conservatism one level of hell lower in interviewing porn merchant Andrew Tate as their first official guest. So I don't know that they've named the new show yet. I think it's going to be called Carlson is Lowest. I said Carlson is Lowest. Now, you'd have to be familiar with cigarette ads in magazines back in the 1970s to get that joke. But go look it up. You'll figure it out. Carlson is Lowest. Yeah. Just really disturbing. So what else do we have? Oh, so I want to open with something lighthearted. And from Cowboy State Daily. This is out of Wyoming. Baseball-sized hail in Scotts Bluff, Nebraska shattered most of the panels on a 5.2-megawatt solar project. That's right. Baseball-sized hail smashed the solar panels into smithereens. And now this is out of Wyoming because they look at this in Nebraska and they're thinking, gee, hail. Well, Wyoming has only one commercial-scale solar farm, but they have a second giant project underway just south of Cheyenne, Wyoming. And just... Cowboy State Daily notes that Wyoming has the highest ranking for hail risk in the nation. So Wyoming has the most fearful hail probably on the planet. And the folks building the giant 5-10 megawatts, whatever here, the solar farm, they looked to Scotts Bluff, Nebraska, and they noticed that their entire project was just destroyed in a matter of minutes. As hail, according to Don Day, the Cowboy State meteorologist, The hail reached terminal velocity of somewhere between 100 and 150 miles an hour, and the hail was the size of a baseball, which doesn't mix well with delicate solar panels. The city planner down in Scotts Bluff, Kevin, he says the Nebraska Public Power District is assessing the damage. And he says he was previously told that the panels were hail-proof. But he says that might have meant up only to a certain size of hail. Anyway, that's what the salesman told him. The salesman was like, hail, don't worry about hail. These are hail-proof. You kidding me? You think we don't think about things like that? Come on. It's hail-proof. You know, remember the Titanic? It was unsinkable. Besides, hail in Nebraska? No way. I think you're overly concerned. And then the hail came and he called the salesman and the salesman's like, well, it must be climate change. I mean, but don't worry about that because the next batch, we're working on that right now. And that we're going to make that climate change proof. And just to ease your concerns, Mr. City Manager, get out your checkbook. Because we plan on making all of our solar panels terminal velocity proof. And then just sign right here. Anyway, I just thought that was funny. The baseball size hail, which I don't think baseball size hail is funny. I've told you about my irrational fear of hail. But I just think of last time I was in Colorado, I drove past acres and acres and acres of these solar panels. And I just thought, it's just a matter of time. And they'll be destroyed in a matter of minutes, in one day, in a moment. Boom, gone. Out there on the eastern plains of Colorado, where hail, really? Well, maybe it's a possibility. All right. Well, we'll keep you posted. Every time one of them is destroyed, we will report it here. That's for sure. On the vax front, Joe Stedek, the weightlifter, bodybuilder guy. Now, this could be the vax death that breaks the camel's back and finally causes the average guy to understand what's going on. This guy, I'm not into the bodybuilding and all of that, but he had many millions and millions of followers, very influential guy, did an interview where he complained, or I shouldn't say he complained, he expressed concern that after he got vaccinated, his doctor was worried about his blood work. His doctor said, your blood work doesn't look right. He didn't know it was wrong. He felt fine. Boom, dropped dead of a heart attack. 30 years old. But, you know, the vaccines, they're safe and effective. So you should give them to all your children twice, three times, four times. I think this guy had been, I think he had been injected three or four times before meeting an unfortunate and untimely end. So we'll see if that is indeed the, and then finally, not finally, we're just getting started. What do I mean finally? So, well, I mean finally in the sense of finally something starting to make sense about what's going on in Ukraine. It's been so strange to try to understand why do all the Western powers, all the liberal democracies, why are they so hell-bent on making war in Ukraine? It's made my head hurt. Well, listen to this. FTX, you remember? I can't remember the guy's name. Sammy Bankman-Fried over at FTX, the crypto exchange. Well, the new CEO, he's been investigating what was going on there, and they've been trying to recover liquid assets that could be paid back to all the leftists who invested in FTX, all the stupid leftists. Well, maybe not so stupid, actually, when you start reading down into the story. The CEO says that the exchange commingled client funds since the very beginning. So it was a scam operation, a criminal operation from its inception, despite how innocent Sammy Bankman-Fried looks. And despite the fact that he talks like an 11-year-old girl, he's actually a criminal mastermind. And that was going on from the very beginning, says the new CEO. And they're working diligently to recover liquid assets so that they can pay back their investors. FTX, at the close of last week, owed their customers approximately $8.5 billion. $8.5 billion. How much can we find? How much did Bankman steal and stash? And how much is gone forever? Usually in a Ponzi scheme like this, or a money laundering operation, there's no money to recover. That's unheard of, that a scam artist gets busted and then you recover the vast majority of the money. In fact, if someone could point out to me in all of criminal history when that ever happened before, I would be interested to know, because as far as I know, it's never happened. Usually the thief steals all the money and it's gone forever. But here's what happened. Last week, the WLT report points out, last week there was an accounting error reported in the media, and the Pentagon accidentally sent Ukraine an accidental $6.2 billion. Now keep in mind, FTX needs about $8.5 billion. So last week, $6.5 billion kind of accidentally goes into the wrong place. And now this week, the new CEO at FTX reports they've recovered $7 billion. $7 billion in liquid assets that can be paid back to the leftists who looked stupid a little while ago, but don't look so stupid now. So the recovery of the $7 billion lost by the Pentagon, they lost $6.5 billion. It just looks like perhaps the FTX bankruptcy is going to be compensated by you and I through money being spent in Ukraine accidentally by the Pentagon. And this could mean that all the top players, all the famous investors who look so foolish, they're going to all get their money back. I mean, most of it. I mean, less the 10% that goes to the big guy. That will be written off as a loss. But so Ukraine turns out to be, for the most part, all about very, very powerful people stealing massive amounts of money. That's what it looks like it's actually all about, which I had suspected that. I had thought possibly that was it, but then you think there are other giant geopolitical, global geopolitical concerns involved, but no, it's really all about just stealing as much money as possible. So, to make things even stranger, because that actually cleared some things up. So let's muddy the waters again, because Ukraine, it requires muddy water. So we go back to Ukraine, where Greta Thunberg held a meeting with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky last week. So that's not that strange, right? Although it is kind of weird that a teenage hysteric somehow finds it important to meet with Vladimir Zelensky in the middle of a war zone, at least an alleged war zone. I kind of wonder how much war is actually going on. I think there are little pockets of really awful war where there's a real war going on, but there's no way it's costing as much money as has been squandered there. And I think Greta, she showed up to get her bag full. That's all. So you have to put in some FaceTime with Vlad if you want to get in on a cut of the billions. So Greta shows up, does the FaceTime, blames climate change for Vladimir Putin and the war. And the fact that gunpowder exists has to do with climate change, of course, and how her childhood has been stolen as she's flown around the world and goes to the finest restaurants. And so she shows up and she meets Vladimir Zelensky. The same day, Mike Pence shows up. Surprise visit. Mike Pence, Republican, former Donald Trump, one of the other people who proved that Donald Trump does not know how to pick people. Mike Pence, he shows up, I think, after Greta. I think she was She was first string. Mike Pence was second string. He came in afterward. And so why is Mike Pence showing up in Ukraine? Surprise. But he's running for president, by the way. So what's that all about? So with Greta, we know what that's all about. She's part of the whole leftist insane cabal, propping up Zelensky and dragging out the war, squandering, stealing the billions, you know, recruiting homosexuals into the Ukrainian military. So she's all a part of that. So that makes sense. But Pence, what's up with Pence? This is Pence's signal to the military-industrial complex that he is their guy. And if he gets elected, he will do all he can to prolong that war. And whatever war they direct him to start next, he'll do that too. And I expect that Ron DeSantis will be popping up with Vladimir Zelensky next, right after an appearance by the rabbit from Alice in Wonderland. Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. It's summer, and we're glad to have you with us here as the summer continues. Yes, yes, and I mentioned Ron DeSantis. Ron DeSantis probably going to drop in on Vlad, any moment now, and I got a statement from Ron. Ron made a statement last Wednesday. He was on a broadcast of some cable news channel. And he's the governor from Florida, by the way, who's a Republican. He's running for president. And he said in an interview last Wednesday on some cable news channel that he wants to eliminate the departments of education, commerce, and energy, along with the IRS. Uh-huh. That's right. That's what he said on some cable news channel. And he furthermore, he said, if Congress won't go along, he's going to then use those agencies to push back against the woke ideology and against the leftism creeping into American institutions. So if he can't get rid of them, he's going to use them in a judo-like way against themselves and like that. And so... So Ron DeSantis, okay, so something about the guy, I don't know what it is, I don't like it. Something about him just rubs me the wrong way. It could be that he's a lawyer, and I try not to judge just, you know, on lawyerness, because I'm sure there are some lawyers that are decent people. But something about him, he's kind of a smarmy guy, and anyway, I think, so for him to say this, that he wants to eliminate the Departments of Education, Commerce, Energy, and the IRS, by the way. To me, this is more evidence that conservatives want to be lied to, and they love it. They can't. They live on it. Because I remember Ronald Reagan doing the same thing. He came in saying he was going to dismantle the Department of Education, which, by the way, the Department of Education, when Ronald Reagan got elected, it was brand new. It had just gotten started by Jimmy Carter, and Reagan could have got rid of it. But the state doesn't get rid of stuff like that because they hire their relatives, and before long, they're using those institutions in a judo-like way against the American people and the American ideal. Hiring their misfit relatives, donors, grandchildren. And so Reagan didn't dismantle the Department of Education at all. And then he was reelected in a landslide and then practically canonized by the Republican Party. So Ron DeSantis knows he can say this, and he's got no commitment to any of it. And he quadrupled down on the non-promise. Not just the Department of Education. Hey, commerce, energy. Hey, the IRS, we're going to get rid of it. Uh-huh. And then to add a layer of, he added this layer of pushback to the bamboozle on top of that, which is, I mean, it's brilliant politics. Brilliantly dark, deceptive politics. And so, anyway, if Trump is either imprisoned or killed, then this guy, DeSantis, he's punching all the right cards to be the next Republican nominee. He just needs to squeeze in that visit to Zelensky, and that will secure him as the next rung Pence, above Pence. Pence is way down. The Pence is probably below Ramaswamy as far as rungs go. That's if Trump is either killed or imprisoned, which one of those two is extremely likely if the polling doesn't change. Heaven forbid, by the way, either one. So what else? I'm not sure what it is about DeSantis. You'd think I'd like him. His campaign ran an anti-homo ad of sorts. It was basically an ad quoting all of Donald Trump's pro-homo statements that he made during his campaign and during his presidency. It was one of these online ads, and it's being condemned by liberal Republicans, meaning it's being condemned by all Republicans, because it implies that bowing the knee to the rainbow flag is somehow distasteful. And Republicans hate that. The one thing Republicans want you to know is they love homosexuals. That's number one. They also love the family and the military and God. But first, homos. That's number one. And so DeSantis runs this ad that's supposed to make conservatives uncomfortable with Trump because Trump loves homos. But I don't know. It makes me suspicious that, because I'm so cynical, I think. It just makes me suspect that DeSantis is running the old Nixon, Bush, Clinton, left-right triangulation. You know, run to the right during the, when you bamboozle the conservatives, and then run to the middle, which by at this point, the middle is the left. 40 years ago, you're practically a communist. So he runs the Nixon, Bush, Clinton, left-right triangulation. Then he'll govern like a slightly more liberal version of Bill Clinton is how it will go. Which is basically what Donald Trump was. And he was hailed as the most conservative president since George Washington. Which just shows you how far down the hole into Alice in Wonderland we've all slid. And speaking of that, I've got a report from the Big Flinch file, which we haven't visited the Big Flinch in a long time, because I know it hurts a lot of people's feelings when I say that. I'll just leave it aside. But from the Big Flinch file, Sheriff's Deputy Scott Peterson, who was present at the Parkland School massacre back in 2018. That was at Parkland, where 17 people were murdered in a school by a maniac. Scott Peterson was the only armed police officer on campus when the shooting started. He was on campus with a gun when the shooting started. Surveillance video showed that Deputy Scott Peterson didn't confront the gunman, and the surveillance video indicates that he hid for almost an hour while the shooting was going on. He was charged. He was charged with some sort of crime. He was on trial, I guess. I don't know if this was civil or if this was, let me see here. He was not charged in connection with the 11 people who were killed on the first floor, but he was. Prosecutors argue that he could have saved, seven or eight people who were killed after he arrived on the scene. And so he was criminally charged, and he's been found not guilty. The cop who hid in the school while the maniac shot up the school has been found not guilty. Why is that? Well, his lawyer says, here's the excuse for why the good guy with the gun hid while the bad guy shot up the school. His lawyer said He didn't know 100% precisely where the shots were coming from. And so he hid. And the jury bought that. I'm astonished. So I'm thinking, like, if you're the only good guy with a gun and you hear shots being fired in a building full of children, aren't you obligated to find out precisely where the bad guys is? Aren't you supposed to go find out where the gunshots are coming from? Yeah, right? Aren't you supposed to go find out where the bad guy or the bad guys? Maybe there could have been more than one bad guy. But if you're the guy with the gun, you're supposed to go find out. But he didn't. He hid. And now a jury made up of people permanently disabled by the big flinch. That's right. American masculinity and femininity, by the way. American men and women have been permanently disabled by the fact that they were forced to watch the police run away. And now no one's quite sure what we're supposed to do in the face of the bad guys. Maybe we're supposed to run away and hide. Maybe that's okay. We were all told to do that. We all did it. And then we were all told we were heroes for doing it. When we hid from a virus, for crying out loud. And the cops in Minneapolis literally ran away and let the bad guys burn down the police station. So nobody knows what to do anymore. And so this guy gets let off. And I'm not even sure that this was a criminal. I'm not even sure that the guy was criminally negligent. But he was negligent on a level that goes beyond criminality. He was negligent on a level that, I mean, defines humanity. So this, to not react, in this case, is a crime against humanity. And it's detrimental to the survival of civilization that, you, number one, that you did this, Mr. Scott Peterson, good guy with a gun. And now that you've gotten away with it, it's even more detrimental. It goes beyond criminal. This is a civilizational event. The fact that the cops with the guns are hiding here, they hid in Uvalde, who knows how many other places they hid. Anyway, it's very, very disturbing, and I just want to move on. Let's go to Paris, where riots have engulfed Paris to the point where even the leftist media are calling them riots. They tried for the first day or two to call them protests until, you know, the video of the belt-fed machine gun and then the rocket-propelled grenade video, that kind of made the whole protest angle difficult to sell. So even the leftists are admitting that these are riots, and it's another George Floyd-type psychological operation where you have the police who kill an unarmed child. And then protests start, and then somehow the protests morph into riots. It's as if this isn't all coordinated. So anyway, President Macron over there in France, he was partying with Elton John, having his picture taken with Elton John last Wednesday night as the cities erupted into flames. And, of course, the pictures of him and Elton John slobbering all over each other. Those pictures are being used by his critics so I am one of those. So I am going to use that. I want to paint a mental picture for you since this is radio. Mental picture of Elton John hugging Macron with the images of Marseille on fire in the background. So there's the mental picture for you. Breitbart News reports, some people believe Macron has been asleep at the wheel. During the second night of protests, he danced and posed for pictures with Elton John. Yeah, that's worse than being asleep at the wheel, okay? Asleep, at least you're not... I'll just leave that aside. Let's go... By the way, a film released last year in France depicted Muslims rioting after a teen was killed by police. Now, why was that a script for a movie? Because this all happened before. 10 years ago, maybe almost 20 years ago, this exact same thing happened. But the riots didn't get quite this far out of hand. This type of thing has been happening in France ever since they've been importing hundreds of thousands of young Muslim men of military age. So this movie comes out last year, and then right on schedule, and people are saying, gee, is this a psychological operation? Is it a conspiracy? Is this the Bilderbergs? I think it's just a pretty predictable plot. That's all. And the story happened in, I think it was 2003 when the cops killed a couple of Muslim kids and then they rioted and acted like it was all about that. When it's all about, actually, it's all about the conquest of Europe by means other than military conflict. You import a bunch of third world young men, move them into ghettos, and then everyone who lives in the city turns gay, and eventually the Muslims, they kill all the homos and take over the country. It's the Witching Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Speaking of movies, which I rarely do, I was talking with a friend that I haven't talked to in many years yesterday, and he asked me about this movie, and I said, oh, I haven't seen that movie. I haven't seen a movie since, I think, the turn of the millennium was the last time I saw a movie. I just don't do movies. Don't know why. Anyway, Jim Caviezel has a new movie coming out, The Sound of Freedom, and it's about a global child trafficking network. It's based on a true story. And Christians, conservatives, normal people who don't traffic in this kind of thing, they think that this movie could be the cultural event that initiates something. I mean, I think maybe we're just hoping for some level of curiosity about the moral decline that's sucking people down into hell by the millions. That's happening. We're just hoping for some level of curiosity about it. Those of us who've been shouting from the rooftops that the country's on fire for the last 20 years are hoping that some of the others might just be curious about it. And this movie could be the and I hope Jim Caviezel does well. I hope this movie awakens people. I mean, I hope so. I don't watch movies myself, but it seems like everyone else does. I mean, not only does everyone else watch movies, everyone else seems pretty much obsessed with watching movies. So maybe that's what it takes to wake the people up. Reality doesn't work for most people. Most people, they learn by entertainment, I guess. And so if you can do a movie and if that works, you know, propaganda films, it's proven to be very effective. So I shouldn't underestimate the power of a movie to motivate people to watch a movie. And then I'm not sure, but I hope that it has some positive effect. I'm trying to be positive. That's all. I've tried to shine a light of positivity. I like Jim Caviezel. In fact, that might be the last movie I watched was The Passion of the Christ. It might be the last movie I watched chronologically in my life. And that was a while back. So I hope Sound of Freedom shines the light on the level of wickedness, corruption, and perversion, and that has, because I'm convinced that the governing officials, so I don't believe that there's a secret sex cult under a pizza place in Brooklyn. I believe that the governments of the world are peopled by a deranged, criminally insane sex cult. I believe that. And this movie, this guy's story is evidence of that. And I hope that people wake up to that and there's a way out of it and that it doesn't lead to World War III, although if it does, I think maybe World War III is already upon us. And it's quite possible that World War III actually started with the sexual revolution in the 60s. World War III is not going to be conventional like the first two. It's going to be much worse. In fact, I've got a story from Brandon Smith over at the Discern Report talking about Pride, since we just managed to get through Pride Month, and you would hope that July would be Humility Month, but it won't be, because the Pride pushers, they just keep pushing it. They keep making Pride Month longer every year, and so now it's bleeding over, festering, and a pus is leaking into July, and before long, if we don't push back, well, listen to this. Brandon Smith says the term color revolution is often associated with covert efforts among Western interests to foment civil unrest within enemy nations and sometimes allied nations in order to destabilize their societies and governments. The concept of color revolution, expanded on by Lieutenant Colonel Michael Aquino, a self-professed Satanist, in a white paper he wrote titled From PSYOP to Mind War, the goal in a color revolution is straightforward: to go to war against a foreign country or one's own country by attacking the citizenry rather than its armies, and to exploit the target population as a weapon to trigger instability. One such color revolution was the Euromaidan revolution in Ukraine in 2014. I've talked about that here on the show. That was the primary trigger for the eventual Russian invasion of Ukraine when Putin declared he would no longer tolerate color revolutions among Russian allies. Euromaidan was a NATO-supported color revolution that has produced the outcome that they wanted, that we're living through right now. But Smith tells us there's a much larger, more destructive color revolution now underway in the West, in the form of the Pride movement. Pride is a definite color revolution, a political destabilization effort. The Pride flag is being used as a symbol to encompass everything from Antifa to Black Lives Matter to the transgender hysteria. The flag no longer... Now, here's where Brandon Smith and I, as often happens with my conservative brethren, this is where we have to part ways. Brandon says the Pride flag no longer represents a civil rights effort. Rather, it is a purely political emblem and a totem of cult worship. And so here's the thing, Brandon. This all needed to be stopped when the whole idea of Pride was masqueraded before us as a civil rights movement. It was never a civil rights movement. Legalizing criminally insane behavior like sodomy is not a civil rights issue. It's criminal insanity, and that's where this should have stopped. And it's because someone allowed it to be presented as a civil rights movement, that's how it snuck under the wire. It didn't sneak under the wire. It was brought under the wire by saboteurs. Smith goes on about the color revolution, which I do agree, by the way. The Pride movement is a color revolution being executed against us, the Christians, by the way. Smith concludes, maybe the point is to start a war the establishment thinks it can finish. Or maybe the point is just to create more chaos. Either way, the Pride movement is a color revolution. It is a clear psychological operation that can only lead to the deconstruction of the West if it is not stopped in its tracks. And I would point you back, Mr. Smith, to the fact that this should have been stopped in the early 1990s when it was disguised as a civil rights movement. And people like you went along with the idea that it was, and all the Christians went along with the idea that it was. And there was a few people, myself, Bob Enyart, others who were declared haters who stood up and said, if you don't stop this now, there's no bottom to this. This is the end of Western civilization. This is the end of Christianity publicly practiced. if you don't stop this now and say that this is criminal. And they said, oh, you're a hater. And now, only when they're actually coming for your children right in front of your eyes, now you're actually scared. You should have been scared back then. You should have took our advice back then and been homophobic, as we were. We were homophobic back then. But now nobody knows what to do. We're all in the grips of the wake of the big flinch. Case in point, Colorado Springs. The maniac who massacred five people and shot up a bunch of others at Club Q in Colorado Springs last November. The trial has come to an end. Why so quickly? Because he made a deal. He cut a deal with the prosecutors. He cut a deal because nobody could figure out if they wanted to try the death penalty on the guy. Who I will not name. But I will point out that he is non-binary and he uses they, them pronouns. And he shot up a gay bar in Colorado Springs. He made a deal with the government and he pled guilty to 5 counts of murder and 46 counts of attempted murder. And has now been ordered by a flinching judge to serve 5 consecutive life sentences, as if that's possible. And that plus 48 years for each attempted murder. That would be 46 times 48. Try to do the math. That's a long time. Basically, he cut a deal with the prosecution and the government's lawyers so that they would not put him to death because they couldn't figure out whether to put him to death. They didn't. Well, are we going to go for the death penalty or we're not? We're going to interview the jurors, try to figure out, just take the temperature, see if the death penalty is reasonable. And finally, he says, "Look, I'll take all that troublesome worry off your hands, and let's cut a deal. I'm a maniac who slaughtered a bunch of people. I use they them pronouns. I think I might be demon possessed. Let's make a deal." And they said, "Okay, yeah, let's make a deal." And so now he'll be in prison for 4 times 40 is 1,600 years, I think. 40 times 40. Is it 160 or is it 1,600? I'm not very good at math. 40 times 4 would be 1,600 years. Plus life. Five consecutive life terms. So he'll be in prison for 5 lifetimes plus 1,600 years, which means he could be out in the next 20 years. That's what that actually means, because, you know, the law could change. And where there's life, there's hope. And the one thing you know about this maniacal evil bastard is he will be alive for the next 30 or 40 years. And so that's from the Just a System file. Meanwhile, reason number 2033 to get or keep your children out of the government school. We go to Revolver News, where the report is in from California. Yaeli Moselle Galdamez killed herself in September 2019, 3 years after California Child Protective Services removed her from her mother's home. We're not allowed to mention that she was removed from her mother's home, and we're not allowed to mention that her parents were divorced and her father was not around to protect her. We're not allowed to mention that because that makes people uncomfortable. Anyway, Yelly's Los Angeles County School encouraged her to take hormones and undergo gender reassignment surgery, telling her to go to join an LGBT group behind her mother's back. And it would have been behind her father's back, but her father was nowhere to be found. The state of California claims... So the girl killed herself. She threw herself in front of a train after all this help from the government school, helping her deal with her gender dysphoria behind her mother's back. The state of California claims the mother was abusive for not affirming the girl's trans identity. The one thing everyone agrees on is that Yaeli Moselle Galdamez is dead. She killed herself. She jumped in front of a train. That's the one fact that's established that nobody's arguing about. And the mother is, I guess, going to bring a lawsuit. The mother testified before the California Judiciary Committee there in the Senate. For what purpose? Maybe just to get it off her chest. I'm sure it's awful, just horrible. That's reason number 2033, because the school might help your child, commit suicide. Reason number 2032, to get or keep your children out of the government school, comes to us from the Free Beacon, where the largest school district in Maryland has decided to limit access for parents to an upcoming meeting where they'll be discussing a policy that bars parents from opting their children out of gender identity and sexuality classes. So we're going to have a meeting to ban the parents, and we don't want any parents at the meeting. Makes perfect sense, actually. Montgomery Public Schools, Montgomery, Maryland, is limiting the meeting, limiting parents from the meeting over what they call safety concerns, which that would be one reason you'd want to keep me out of that meeting. So you're going to have a meeting about teaching my kids about gender identity. You'd want to keep me out of that meeting for safety reasons. So that's, anyway, hapless parents have filed a lawsuit against the district for not being allowed to remove their kids from lessons on creepy, weird sex stuff. So anyway, mom, dad, don't file a lawsuit. If the teacher wants to teach your kid about creepy, weird sex stuff, get your kid out of the school and present yourself in a threatening manner to the teachers. I mean, at least politically threatening, socially. Anyway, the lawsuit cites the use of pride storybooks. The parents are upset. They're so upset about the teachers trying to molest their kids, they're filing a lawsuit and demanding the right to send their kids to the school. It's crazy. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Thank you for sticking with us. I have, I did Jim Caviezel and the... I encourage people to pre-order tickets for the movie, by the way, just so that it can get wider distribution. So I encourage you to do that. I will be buying... I'm pre-ordering a ticket today. Because I just feel like I need to be more positive. That's why. And by the way, the United States Supreme Court, we don't want to miss this, a court that had never overturned a previous decision in almost 250 years, has now overturned two in this session. That's right. The U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade, the child-killing case, and they recently overturned Grutter versus Bollinger, the affirmative action case. Now, child killing has not been declared illegal anywhere yet, and the institutional left has already declared that it will find ways to continue killing children apace. And regarding the affirmative action, the institutional left has already declared that it will find another way to implement the racist policies that they prefer. So anyway, I say we stand up and fight them on both fronts, as much as we can, however we can. If they're going to use alternative means, let's use alternative means. If they're going to not respect the ruling of the court, well, the next time the court legalizes something immoral, I say we don't respect that. It's time for some civil disobedience. We don't need to set cars on fire like they're doing in Nice, but we need to resist. So, and there were other victories at the Supreme Court for Christians. If you're a Christian, you don't want to bake a cake or build an app for a homo. If you're a taxpayer and you don't want to pay off the student loans of middle class to rich kids who went to college, the Supreme Court ruled for us this past week. I'm very positive about all that. I mean, we'll see within the next 17 months whether America still has any gas left in the tank to actually implement any real policy changes for the better based on any of these rulings. I've read reports that there are studies that some abortions have not happened because of the overturning of Roe versus Wade. And I think that's possible that some haven't occurred. And we'll take that as a victory. I mean, at least the child who's born, that's a victory. So got to be positive about that. But I just want to remind everyone, it's been more than a year now since the overturning of Roe versus Wade, which supposedly legalized abortion. It's been overturned. Not a single state has granted the right to life without exception to anyone. At least anyone who hasn't been born yet. Which means that the right to life you think you enjoy is threatened as well. But it's the most innocent who are most immediately threatened and being killed every single day in every single state. But the others, these other victories here on don't bake me a cake, don't make me bake you a cake, don't make me pay off your student loan, don't use racist policies admitting people to communist brainwashing camps known as universities. Now, those don't require nearly as much heavy lifting as granting the right to life without exception to every American. So let's hope that we can manage to make something positive out of all this Supreme Court activity that seems to be in our favor at the moment. And so there you go. There's our weekly positive message, the power of positive thinking. Okay? Now, in the meantime, I don't want to miss this story in case it's true, because it would be embarrassing to have missed it. There are reports that Chinese migrants, young men of military age, are entering the United States on foot at the southern border in alarming numbers. Now, the Gatestone Institute reports that almost all the Chinese and almost all the migrants coming across the border are just desperate people, poor people seeking a better life. But some may not be. Some may be military age men recruited to come here for a specific purpose. And the reports of Chinese migrants of military age, young single men entering, reports are that they're entering in unprecedented numbers. How many have slipped into the United States? There's no way to know. Some people estimate 5,000, 10,000. The Gatestone Institute author says that seems high, but whatever the actual figures, the only thing we know is that more are coming every day. More Chinese and others. I've been noticing since I've been watching this happen since the Obama administration, frankly, that an awful lot of young single men are entering the United States, just a lot of them, that's all, and that's concerning for me. Anyway, the Gatestone author goes on. He says, the concern is this, specifically about the Chinese. On the first day of a war in Asia, let's say they invade Taiwan, the saboteurs, sleepers, here possibly by the thousands, will take down America's power stations, poison reservoirs, assassinate officials, start wildfires, spread pathogens, and create terror by bombing shopping malls, supermarkets, and other... Well, if that all is going on, well, that would be embarrassing for the Biden administration. How do you think MSNBC is going to cover that? When the Chinese invade Taiwan and unleash the sappers in the streets of America and things are burning, people are dying, how are they going to cover for Biden? That's... I actually don't think the Chinese are interested in any of that. I don't think, why would you do that when you're basically conquering the world without having to fire a shot? You're basically bribing and buying your way in. The only thing that would motivate the Chinese to resort to military action against America and against Taiwan would be the seemingly insatiable appetite for men to make war upon each other. The Chinese might just want to blow things up and kill people because people seem to like to do that. from time to time. And it's been quite a while since China has done that in any concerted way, and they might just want to do that. So it's worth noting the influx of military-age single Chinese men. It's just worth noting, that's all. Now, meanwhile, I mentioned earlier the weightlifter who calls himself Joe Stetic. I should have written his real name down because he did die, and you should at least call someone by their real name, but I neglected to do that. He's a weightlifter with lots of tattoos and lots of followers on Instagram, and dropped dead of a heart attack after being vaccinated. And now here we have the CDC's own data from VAERS has recorded at least a 5,000% increase in stillbirths and miscarriages in 2021 over 2020. So that's a 5,000% increase. In 2021, well, since the vaccines, there have been 5,100 reported cases to VAERS of stillbirths or miscarriages thought to be associated with the vaccine. 5,100. In 2020, there were 65 reported stillbirths or miscarriages related to any vaccine. Any and all vaccines. 65. 2021, there were over 5,000. That's just in VAERS. VAERS captures between 1 and 10% of. So there are 50, somewhere between 50 and 500,000 additional miscarriages and stillbirths since the vaccines. Maybe this will wake people up. No, this won't wake anybody up. Maybe Rochelle Walensky will wake people up. From the widespread panic file, outgoing CDC chief, CDC chief hysteric, Rochelle Walensky gave a speech on her way out the door as she'll be hired by some university with a fat six-figure income to brainwash the next generation of hapless people. She said, here's what she said on her way out. I fear the despair from the pandemic is fading too quickly. So just let that sink in. She fears that the despair from the pandemic is fading too quickly. She wants us all to be scared because she understands that it's painful to recall a ravaged nation brought to its knees by a pandemic. No, Rochelle. The nation was ravaged and brought to its knees by hysterics like you. Tyrants and hysterics, wicked, evil, criminally insane maniacs. She then goes on to insist that what we need is more money to be invested in the CDC and in public health and in her personally. Her salary should be increased, the salary of everyone in her family, all of her donors, those donors' children, nephews, nieces, they all need more money. Back in May, let's see, the Epoch Times reports back in, and then she warns us of the next pandemic, of course. She wants to protect us from future threats, she says. And then we're reminded by the Epoch Times that back in May, WHO Director Tedros Ghebreyesus stressed that, quote, the end of the COVID-19 global health emergency is not the end of COVID-19 as a global health threat. And of course, that's true, because as long as anyone talks about COVID-19, there's a chance that these insane, criminally insane maniacs will once again ravage and bring civilization to its knees, which could happen at any moment because, well, everybody already went along with it once, and that's just a bad sign. You never want to give the bully. You never want to let the bully know that you're willing to give in, because then the bully never stops. I mean, until you punch him in the nose. So Tedros Gali Ghebreyesus there, what he needs is a political, cultural, and civilizational punch in the mouth, along with Chief Hysteric Rochelle Walensky, who needs to be figuratively battered about the head, shoulders, and neck until she gets off. Just get away from us with that. All right, meanwhile, from the two or three witnesses file, we have a study out of Denmark that found that transgendered people have a markedly higher rate of suicide than normal people. Normal people. Who wrote this article? Oh, the Revolver News. I think they're Christians. So they compare normal people to transgender people by calling the normal people normal, which they didn't go to journalism school over there. Anyway, the New York Times reported on this Denmark study. They say this is the first study in the world to analyze national suicide data from this group. And then Revolver points out that that's just blatantly not true. We've known for years that people with sexual dysfunction kill themselves at massively higher rates than normal people. We've known that. It's been one of those obvious things that you didn't even need to do a study on, but there have been studies. A 2020 study showed that 40% of transgender people had attempted suicide. Then there was another study from 2016 found that 41% of the respondents said that they had previously attempted suicide. These are transgender people. The CDC found in 2020 that 0.3% of the population had attempted suicide, and the study found that 40% of trannies had attempted suicide. So yeah, that's a dramatically higher rate, in the thousands of percent. That's a dramatically higher rate. And then according to a LGBTQ-friendly group, they say nearly one in five people have trannies have attempted to commit suicide. And of course, they blame the Catholic Church and they blame normal people for being normal and driving the trannies to suicide. But anyway, so the New York Times just comes out and lies. So here we have two or three witnesses, studies that two or three or four here that show us what we all knew, that people who are sexually deviant perverts tend to kill themselves at massively higher rates than normal people. 7.7 times the rate. All right. Anyway, the New York Times also asserted, quote, some LGBTQ advocates have declared that the new laws that have been enacted recently could lead to more young transgender people to die by suicide, said the New York Times. So basically, they're threatening to hurt themselves if you pass laws saying that, look, we just can't take all this sexual deviance and corruption anymore because, you know, at first, we were dumb enough to say to call this a civil rights thing, okay, so fool me once. But now that we see that you're coming for our children right in front of us, now we need to step in and do something. And so now they're saying, well, if you do that, we'll kill ourselves. Or their advocates are. No, actually, the trannies themselves say that. Don't do that or I'll hurt myself. All right. Now, let's go to Wyoming for reason number 2033 to get or keep your children out of the government schools, or your grandchildren, by the way. Sean and Ashley Willie, they live in Rock Springs, Wyoming, which is the middle of nowhere. I've been there. It's right in the middle of nowhere. They say that school district staffers use male name and pronouns for their teenage daughter and without telling them, and they did it for 6 months. And so that's where they draw the line. The Willies, the mom and dad there. They're both teachers, by the way. And they have now filed some sort of suit. They filed a lawsuit in April. No, let's see here. Yes, they filed a lawsuit against the Sweetwater School District, arguing that the secret pronoun and name change was a violation of something. The school argues that it did no real harm. The school basically addressed the girl by a boy's name and used a male pronoun for the entire school year. The school district claims the parents lack standing to sue because they weren't harmed. And that the parents knew, working for the school district, the parents were aware that there's detailed guidance to teachers about students and their preferred pronouns. So the parents who work at the school district, apparently aware of the policy, are now somehow offended that the policy was applied to their daughter. Thankfully, their daughter hasn't killed herself. And so it's not too late, Sean and Ashley, Willie. Get out. Take your girl out of the schools. Quit your jobs. It's Rock Springs. You can get a job mining rocks or working at the springs. Anything would be better than teaching in the government schools and subjecting your daughter to the criminally insane perverts who've seized civilization. They've seized the institutions of civilization. Number one among them, the education apparatus, the educational organ put in place by the criminally insane communist perverts who seize civilization. Get out. And then do we have anything else? No, I can't do that story. I don't want to do that. And I'm sick of that topic altogether. Oh, here we go. Finally, the death of an airport worker sucked into a Delta Airlines plane engine has been ruled a suicide. That was at San Antonio International Airport. I remember this is the second person sucked into an airline engine in just the past few months. And you just think to yourself, how bad has your life got to be to look at a giant jet engine and decide, you know, I'd rather just jump in there and be ground into little pieces. That's just horrible. To think that someone's life could be so desperate that that's what they would want to resort to. Well, it just, people, you never, everyone's going through something bad. And so we should all be a little more graceful to one another. Me being the first among those, and I'll try to do that. And I'll just try to be more positive in general as we witness the decline and fall of Western civilization before our eyes. But we see that as things get darker, the light shines more brightly. And we'll continue to do that. And should the Lord tarry, we'll return next week. Until then, may the grace of God go with you. And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.